With mana whenua groups throughout Tāmaki achieving or approaching settlement, there are significant emerging opportunities for iwi to play a leading role in urban development projects within their rohe and to develop their land returned or purchased through settlement for housing.
During our treaty negotiations, the opportunity presented itself to look at a 2-hectare marae site here, what we call Te Whanake or Pāua Whanake, and we seized that opportunity. Part and parcel of that was around social housing, and that commercial opportunity came about as well. So one of the main things for us is about coming home. What we wanted to do as negotiators for our people is to repatriate our people back in this particular area where we once were. And we're mindful about other tribes that were here with us. With treaty settlements provided us with the opportunity for that to happen, cultural repatriation, and an opportunity to look at housing in a commercial sense, social housing as well. So, yeah, we're mindful about the differences of thinking from the community, but, you know, we've had 100% support by our whanaunga, which is the other iwi mana whenua tribes, of us doing what we're doing. Of course, you know, with the unknown, you know, if we don't understand the context and the history and the whys in terms of why we're doing this, you know, you only know what you know. For Ngāti Pāua and for the leadership of Ngāti Pāua, was just to continue to move forward and based on our principles of tika, you know, doing things correct, doing things right, pono, you know, just be honest to ourselves and honest to others as well. But the important thing is the aroha. You know, aroha can take many forms, but for Ngāti Pāua it's about compassion and actually valuing people for who they are and the thoughts that they have, but, you know, just putting some light in terms of the why and how we're going to go about doing that. And that's, if you think about a tikanga process or a tikanga, it's to how we go about doing that. What is the point of difference that we bring? The point of difference that we bring is that it's not about creating housing alone. It's about creating a community.
Tēnā koutou katoa. No mai haere mai ke te Indigenous Urbanism. Aotearoa Edition, Episode 9. I'm your host, Jay Kake, and this is Indigenous Urbanism. Stories about the spaces we inhabit and the community drivers and practitioners who are shaping those environments and decolonizing through design. On this episode of Indigenous Urbanism, we speak with Hau Rauri, Chair of Ngāti Pāua, about the upcoming Pāua Whanake development in Point England, which will see 300 homes and a new marae built on treaty settlement land.
Kia ora, Jade. Kia ora koutou e whakarongo maina. Ka tima te whenei ana, ko tainui te waka. Ko kohu kohunui te maunga, ko whare kawa te marae, ko Ngāti Pāua me Ngāti Whanaunga Ōku Iwi, ko Hau Auru tōku ingoa. Yeah, my name's Hau, Hau Auru Rāwari, and I'm the kaihautu for the Ngāti Pāua Iwi Trust and just lead our people in the path through treaty settlements and as a negotiator. Was fortunate to be in the right place at the right time at one of our huia iwi and really humbled to and privileged to help our people of Ngāti Pāua in this way.
I've asked you to meet me here at Te Whanake, and the reason I was interested in coming here is because we heard a lot in the media around the Point England Development Enabling Bill and the proposal here, and there was a lot of, I think, misinformation about what exactly the intention was and what the plans were moving forward. And I guess I just wanted to give you the opportunity to tell the story from your perspective of, firstly, the importance of this area historically, but also the importance of the plans moving forward.
And again, Jade, and to your organisation, thank you for the opportunity to allow me to, you know, speak my thoughts and voice our intentions. I mean, it's all about connecting. But I talked about our waka being tainui, and when we think of the Tāmaki River or Te Waiho Taiki, the Tāmaki River and the cross of the Tainui Waka that we connect to into the Manukau Harbour, well, this is where it happened. And I'm mindful, you know, in the early 1800s is where our people lived along in this particular area, and especially around Makoia Pā was an important pass site for Ngāti Pāua, Mauinaina, Mauinaina. And, you know, the many people that, you know, Pākehā-like, that came to this particular area. And we're mindful about other tribes that were here with us. The thing is that they were with Ngāti Pāua. And that's not being disrespectful, because as whanaunga, with our tribes of Hauraki, with our tribes of Tāmaki, you know, we live together. But for us is that this was a stronghold along this particular river. We know as Waimakoia was a very, very important place for us.
I'm wondering if you could maybe describe a bit of where we are and what is planned for the area that we're walking through and looking at right now.
So where we are now is that we're at the sports fields, and it's Auckland Council owned and managed. And right next to this particular sports field is the reserve, owned by the Crown, by DOC, and managed by Auckland Council. On that particular piece of land that's owned by the Crown, by DOC.
So is that the area across the fence?
That's the area across the fence. There's the highest point on there is where we've allocated, in discussion with Office of Treaty Settlements, is the area for the marae, which is the highest point over there. We're still in discussions in terms of the particular area for the housing development, and with the change of government, you know, those discussions are continuing. We're mindful that, you know, in terms of what we've locked in, and what we've locked in terms of the initialing of our deed of settlement, is 2 hectares for the marae and 11.69 hectares for housing, mixed housing. So that's been locked in terms of our deed of settlement.
And so how many homes would be on that 11 point something hectares?
We can talk around 300, but really it comes down to the quality of the homes, comes down to affordability and that actual mix.
What I wanted to ask you about is this plan for marae. Where is the nearest Ngāti Pāua marae to this location?
Okay, we're mindful that we have a connect to Ruapōtaka marae and has been acknowledged as Ngāti Pāua, being iwi mana whenua, or one of the iwi mana whenua for the marae. But in terms of having a Ngāti Pāua marae, you know, the closest marae that we do have is back in Wharekawa, Kaiawa.
Mm.
We're mindful that in terms of the decision that was made in terms of a marae site here, you know, actually aligns to, you know, back in the early 1800s around Makoya Pā was a stronghold, was a site, was a marae, was a pā site for Ngāti Pāua, an important pā site in this particular area.
Could you describe where Makoya Pā is in relation to this site?
So Makoya Pā is on the northern side of the Pāmuir Bridge.
So is that kind of directly across the water there?
Directly across the water there.
Hmm.
And it's probably one of the most important pā sites and recognised archaeological areas in the whole of Auckland. And I don't say that flippantly, but, you know, archaeologists and others and the history around it and what they're doing there at the moment has uncovered, you know, some unbelievable finds. That's where it was. You know, I remember in the stories that were handed down by our tupuna, by our ancestors, you know, in 1821 when Ngāpuhi came through this particular area, and pretty much, you know, the battles that happened. You know, there was a lot of there were a lot of deaths that happened in this particular area. You know, it's all in the history there. For us is the opportunity to repatriate this area and honour those ancestors that have that actually died here and lived here and passed. In terms of the particular marae site, you know, the 2 hectares here at Pāua Whanake, it's around, you know, being inclusive with the community and working with the community. And the fundamental difference is that, you know, it is a Ngāti Pāua marae. For us as Ngāti Pāua, it's not being inclusive, and usually the general gist of the marae is the people of that particular area. But also for us is that we understand the diversity that we have in this particular part of Auckland. And when we think about, you know, there's over 170 ethnicities, and nobody's not going anywhere. It's probably going to get increased more. So how do we work together as a community and really enable and empower the community and bring the community into our world? It's not about pitting ourselves against each other. It's about working together. And, you know, I use this kōrero. You know, Ngāti Pāua would provide the foundation to allow all nations to grow. It's about the and, not the all. Really sincere about that. When I talk about foundation, you know, the marae is that. We talk about as mana whenua, as Ngāti Pāua, it's about your whenua and creating that foundation. You know, in terms of our values of manaaki, of kaitiakitanga, not only of the whenua, of the environment, of the sea, but of people. How do we practice and exercise that? And that's key. And when I come back to the marae in terms of the thinking around the marae, although it's in its early phases, if we plant the whakaaro, you know, the thought and the wairua into the intent and what we want to do, then everything else will just manifest, because it's about creating the foundation for all nations to grow.
And having the marae and the homes and having the living presence in that area, I suppose it fulfills two really important functions for Ngāti Pāua, in that By having that living presence, you're able to better fulfill your role as kaitiaki and better manaaki all who live in this area and everybody who comes here.
When you think about the Tainui waka coming through here, Ngāti Pā, we're waka people too, waka taua, you know, all that stuff. And we've been working with the school over here, with the principal over here at Point England Primary School, and looking at ways of, you know, waka, bringing waka navigation, waka haurua, you know, double hull canoes, and the training and development and the learning around that back onto this particular river. It's a no-brainer for us, you know, using the maramataka, the Māori calendar. And those are the things that we can share together. Just on that particular point, you know, we've been working with Point England Primary School around, you know, the sciences and the Mātauranga Māori around flounders, growing flounders, and bringing them back and putting them back into the Tāmaki River. At the moment, we're looking at what's happening is they have tanks within the school. We're looking at tuna now, and we're working with them around the Mātauranga Māori around that, but also with other scientific experts, you know, around what's the best way to produce tuna, flounder, you know. And we purposely worked with the school because with our tamariki, with the parents, they're all part of the community, and it all becomes inclusive. And that's part and parcel of our strategy, is just a way or mechanism to work with the community, and something that's dear to us, something that's also dear to the community as well.
How does mahinga kai and marakai figure into this planned development here?
Well, it's funny you talk about that. I mean, we have a kawinata or an agreement with the Tāmaki, a regeneration company, between the board and the leadership of both entities, Ngāti Pā Iwi Trust and TRC. What we talked about was really around that stuff around, you know, our people in this particular area. Now, there's a bit of poverty. How can we look at marakai or look at, you know, land allocation to actually just get in and do it? Because that's a low-lying fruit, really. All you have to do is provide land and everything else should come. So those discussions, you know, we're having those discussions. I know we've been a bit busier with other priorities at the moment, but that will come. If we were to provide something, you know, land or working together with the school to do that stuff, you could feed the community. It's no different from what our ancestors, what our tūpuna did, you know, in the early 1800s, you know, the late 1700s. No different from what they did in terms of Maui Naina, which actually covers, the, you know, the Panmure Township. The actual garden was a mile wide and a mile long, and the purpose of it was to feed people that came to the area. It's no different. It's in our DNA. Our ancestors have provided the blueprint. All we need to do is find a mechanism to bring that back. It's already here.
The development hasn't been without its controversy. In a community that has been rocked by changes initiated through the Tāmaki Regeneration Project, community opposition was widely reported in the media and came from a diversity of local groups and individuals representing a variety of interests.
A bit annoyed that we're going to be seeing a valuable piece of recreational land be covered in this housing without any sort of consultation with the locals. I mean, I've spoken to people around here and they know absolutely nothing about it.
A lot of people use this area, you know, to play and all sorts, you know, come to bring their children. So it'd be good if it stayed like this.
If you build here, then there'll be no reserve. There'll be nothing for us to come detach ourselves, get away from Wi-Fi, take your jandals off and rub your feet on the grass. There'll be none of that.
I reckon they should keep it as a reserve because it's really family orientated. They have movie nights down there for the kids. So I think the houses shouldn't be built there. They should find somewhere else to build them.
The houses will also introduce a whole ton of cats, maybe 500 or so cats, right into that nesting ground. So it's not looking good for the birds at all.
We have had, and you may or may not know, that we have had, you know, a lot of opposition to this.
That's Hau Rāwiri again.
The Greens around the dotterels, the birds, and on this particular area, around building on green space, and it was opposed by the local board and also by Auckland Council and other local boards. And that's because of, you know, green space and housing development on green space. I mean, that's not our issue. You know, this is about redress. You know, in our journey, there are a lot of passionate people there, whether it's birds, whether it's the, you know, the sea, whether it's the trees and planting and so on and so forth. There are a lot of passionate people. How do we enable them to be and to do and add to that, you know? So,
and bring them along on that journey together with you.
We think about the Aumaru stream and it's, you know, polluted, and the Tāmaki River and the dotterels and the birds. And that's what we heard. And that's what we're working with Water Care and the community and others to clean up the place. That's what we've committed to, is to clean up, because that's our responsibility.
Something that really struck me when I attended the Point England Development Enabling Bill hearings was that in the lead up, I'd been following the media reporting and it came across quite oppositional, and it seemed as though the community, the existing community, were opposed to the development. But what I saw when I attended was some of the residents standing up and giving their kōrero. And I heard one of the residents say, and this was quite a bold statement, he said, "Now I think I speak for everybody when I say we'd much rather have had Ngāti Pāua as our landlords." And that was speaking in terms of tamaki regeneration. And the sense that I really got was that the community supported Ngāti Pāua. What they didn't support was all of the changes that were happening to them and not with them.
Yes.
And I think when you mentioned that you had spent time to listen to the concerns of the community and talk to them and work with them, I thought that was very generous and very open-hearted, because Ngāti Pāua didn't have to do that. But it comes back to your values and the things that you think are important.
Those are the things. I mean, we can follow a process of whether we have to or don't have to. But if we come back to our own values and principles and come back to our tikanga, you know, we don't shy away, and we shouldn't shy away from that stuff, because everybody's important. And it's not to gain credit, but it's just there to listen. We have a saying, pāua taringa rahirahi, pāua with the alert ears, you know. And we really, really, really try hard to listen. I mean, when we met with the community at Uapōtaka Marae, I mean, we come under a lot of flak for a lot of things. And we knew it was coming, okay, amongst some of the kaimahi of the Ngāti Pāua organisation, and, you know, we don't have to, but the leadership, and we said we're going to do that. Why? Because that aligns to us. We're not afraid of confrontation. We're not afraid of having the brave conversation, because the reality or the honesty about it is that that's all we want to do is come home. You know, we want our people to have their tūranga waiwai back here. Those hapū and families that were here, come back and do the things what your ancestors did. Look after the people that were here. I'm mindful about, you know, with TRC, Tāmaki Regeneration Company, and the state housing and things that are happening, it probably wasn't a good scenario to come into, you know, at that particular time with all that happening and the evictions and so on and so forth. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, there's a saying, you know, ko e whakautu te kino ki te kino, whakautu te kino ki te pai. So, you know, don't answer bad with bad, you answer it with good and with kindness, because there is a humility in terms of listening. So it has been challenging when I think about, you know, with the enablement bill, the ramifications legally, if we did, if we didn't. I'm mindful about, you know, in terms of the last election, and we have a Labour in power now, with the coalition, Labour in New Zealand First and others, Greens. So the change of the guard in terms of, from a political perspective. But for us, it's just continuing to work and keeping to our fundamentals of, we want to provide an opportunity to bring our people home. And if this is part and parcel of that opportunity, we'll do whatever it takes to do that. You know, we're just ecstatic and sort of over the moon about that, Jade. Yeah.
Indigenous Urbanism is a production of Te Matapihi. Sandy Wakefield does our sound recording, editing and mixing. Our theme was composed by Thomas Burton. I'm Jade Kake, your host and executive producer. For more information about today's show and other episodes of Indigenous Urbanism, go to indigenousurbanism.net. You can drop us a line at info@indigenousurbanism.net. And if you like what you're hearing, please give us a review or rating on iTunes. Coming up next on Indigenous Urbanism, we speak with Hayley Hooper Noor Ngāti Ho, an urban designer living in Tāmaki Makaurau, who explains just what an urban designer is and how we navigate our role as Matawaka practitioners.
The treaty offers New Zealand or Aotearoa an opportunity to acknowledge and uphold a relationship between two people, but it also has an opportunity for us as designers to really create an incredible country, which we already have, but in an urban way. When you look at resource management, urban design, architecture and development, if we have that kind of embrace from Māori and Pākehā come on board with it, it's a really beautiful thing, because it means that you take on the idea and the responsibility of being kaitiaki, and you're stopping to take the time to understand the land and the importance of the land and everything that that offers first, before you start to look at how you may intervene into that space.